time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here again today. This program comes to you from the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. I'd like to say again to each and every one of you that we really appreciate you allowing us the privilege of being able to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. Before Brother Dishman brings today's message to you, I'd like to ask you a serious question. Have you ever thought of the terrible tragedy that it would be to be lost? To come down to the end of life's journey and find that you have been rejected by the Lord. Friend, God gives every one of us time and opportunity to prepare for eternity. Hopefully, as today's message goes forth, you will seriously consider your eternal destiny. So many have neglected this important matter. Here now is our brother Larry Dishman to bring us the good news from a far country.
I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. My message deals with the subject, the tragedy of being lost. It's a real tragedy to be lost. But it's even a greater tragedy to be irrevocably lost. You might be lost, and that's bad. But if you keep going in the direction you're headed in, you're going to be eternally lost. And that's really sad. A certain ungodly tavern keeper who liked music decided to attend one of John Wesley's meetings to hear the singing. But he resolved, however, not to listen to the sermon. And so when the preacher started, he sat with his head down, holding his ears, refusing to listen to the word of God. But God's word's powerful, you know that? And God calls the fly to land on his nose. And he took his hand to scare the fly away, and he heard 9 words. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's all it took. God got a hold of his heart. He listened the rest of the service attentively. He came back the next night and listened attentively. And God saved the owner of the tavern. God's word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The term lost is something that we understand. Most of us have lost something in our life. Oh, and we may have been sorry for the loss. It may have cost us to replace it. But consider the usage of this word when it refers to eternity. When we think about being lost in the light of eternity, it causes us to have a serious thought. It means to be lost forever, to be lost eternally. It should bring us great concern for those who have rejected the truth of the gospel. Many times folks think that to make a commitment to Christ is too great. They say it's a great commitment. And I've had people to tell me over the years, but Brother Dishman, if I get saved, that means I'd have to give up drinking. I'd have to give up smoking. I'd have to give up drugs. I'd have to give up other behaviors. And certainly, there's changes in a person's life when they truly get saved. But for a moment, I want us to consider the cost of not making a commitment. The devil wants you to focus on the cost of making a commitment. But I want you to think about what's the cost if you don't make a commitment to God. The cost of being lost eternally is a great cost. No hope of ever getting out of hell. No hope of ever being delivered from eternal torment. To me, this is a sad parable in the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. Here's a lost man, and he lost everything. He was prosperous, but he was pitiful. He was rich, but he ends his life in regret. Think about the high cost of being lost. What did this man lose? He lost it all. His happiness was limited to happenings on this earth. The crown of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. As I stop to think about that today, that's all the happiness that some people will ever have. It's just the happiness of this life. They're never going to know about any happiness in the life to come. Everything just seemed to be going well with this man. I'm sure that all of his neighbors looked at him and they marveled at his great success. And there's nothing wrong with great success. There's nothing sinful about great success. There's nothing sinful about putting up for the future. But he thought within himself. Notice he didn't reason with God. He didn't reason with godly people. He didn't seek godly advice. No doubt this man's life was so busy pursuing the comforts of this life, not on pursuing God. And when God enters this man's house, the farmer realized there was one thing that he didn't prepare for. He made good plans to store his crops. He made good plans to save up for the future. He made good plans to enjoy himself all of his life. In fact, he'd done many things well, but he did not prepare for his soul in eternity. Death was not in his planning book. He probably had a planning book. Such and such year I'll be able to do this. And then the next year I'm going to make this move. But he had no plans about what was going to happen at death and after death. A person does not know when his time of death is coming. When her time of death is coming. Oh, he was happy. He evaluated his life and he thought about his success. So he determined to expand his operation. But his investments are always risky. Think of the financial reverses that could have took place. There could have been a drought that devastated him. Too much rain could have ruined him. He failed to recognize that these things are always a possibility. He had made no plans for disaster. His disaster came in a totally unexpected way. He thought he had plenty of time. He said, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God thought otherwise, didn't he? God stepped in. He wasn't expecting it. God just stepped in the middle and he said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." This night, not next month, not next week, not tomorrow, but tonight. It's going to be the night. Oh, this is sad, wasn't it? You know why? He was totally unprepared for eternity. I'm talking to some people here, and if you'll be honest with me, you are totally unprepared for eternity. All of his happiness and attention had been spent on things of this earth. There was a pastor invited to a dinner in a home of a very wealthy man in the state of Texas. After the meal, the host led him to a place where they could see a good view of the surroundings. Pointing to the oil wells, he boasted, 25 years ago, I had nothing. Now, he said, as far as you can see, it's all mine. Looking in the opposite direction, his sprawling fields of grain, he said, that's all mine. Turning east towards a huge herd of cattle, he bragged, all them cattle you can see, they're all mine. Then pointing to the west, a beautiful forest, he explained, this is all mine too. And he paused, expecting the pastor to compliment him on his great success. But the pastor laid his hand on his shoulder, pointing heavenward, and says, how much do you have in that direction? How much do you have in that direction? That was the problem with this man. He was rich, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he was not rich toward God. And that was the problem. Some of you, I love you. That's really why I'm here. Because I love you. You're not rich toward God. How sad that is. How much do you have in that direction? Are you laying treasures up over on the other side? Most of us don't realize we're just one breath away, one heartbeat away, one accident away from eternity. No one is ever prepared for that moment until they have made peace with God. His holdings were limited to the harvest of the earth. What shall I do? He said. His prosperity produced him problems. He didn't know what to do with the success. His increasing wealth complicated his life. It didn't make it easier. But I noticed the pronouns. He said, my fruits twice. He said, my barns. He said, my goods. He said, my soul. I is used six times. In one statement, he referred to himself 11 times. This rich fool suffered from eye trouble. This will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will bestow all my goods and all my fruits. His barns would advertise his affluence, but everything this man harvested was perishable. None of the things that he had were forever. His fruit goods would eventually rot. His barns would eventually decay and fall apart. That is why we need to think about investing over there. The things of this life simply will not last. Whatever you've got, your cars and your trucks and your possessions and your homes, they're not going to last. His hopes were limited to the horizon of the earth. He looked to the future with confidence in all that he had accomplished. He did all he was supposed to do as far as this world's standards go. We're bombarded with information, advertising that prompts us to prepare for the future, making some kind of investments. He made the right investments for earthly holdings. He was a successful farmer, and his harvest proved that. But his plans for the future was faulty because they did not include God. And that's a sad thing as I look over this audience. Some of you have a good future in this life, but your future does not take God into consideration. Perhaps he was too busy to consider what was going to happen when he died. Maybe he felt too enlightened to believe in heaven or hell. No matter what he may have thought or believed, it didn't change the fact God said, "Thy fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee." He went into eternity lost forever. Everything that he had worked so hard for, everything that he had accumulated, he left it behind. What a tragic development. Everything he worked so hard to gain, it was gone in a moment of time. He lost it all. But the most valuable thing, the most precious thing, he lost his precious soul. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know what this is? It is a warning to all of us. Some of the saddest words that man will ever hear is the words of Jesus, "I never knew you." Oh, what sad words. Matthew 7:23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus says to those who failed to honor his lordship, "I never knew you. Depart from me." How tragic will be such words for those expecting to be with Jesus in eternity but will not be with him. Friend, the people that Jesus said this to, "I never knew you," were people that had great anticipation that they were going to heaven, that they were right with God, but they wasn't right with God. Here are those who suppose they were Christians, but they were not Christians. They failed to adequately prove all things. They were deceived. Eternally lost. A tragedy indeed. I thought of other sad words in the Bible. "Depart from me. Depart from me." Isn't that sad? Friend, these are going to be some of the saddest words that could ever fall upon man's ear. Matthew 25:41. "Then shall he say also to them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." When Jesus spoke these words, I say, my friend, it must have been tragic. Other sad words is found in 2 Peter 2:20, where he said, "The latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Here's one who once knew the truth, lived according to the word of God, who served the Lord and knew the blessings of the Holy Spirit, yet chose to abandon these things and return to worldliness. He said, "The last state is worse than the first." If there's one thing more tragic than being lost, it's having been saved and then returning and being lost again. That's a spiritual tragedy. The Bible teaches It would have been better if an individual had never been saved to begin with, because the person that's never been saved don't know the joys of sins forgiven. Been better off never to have known the way of righteousness than to turn from it. What are the saddest words? Some of the saddest words I read in the Bible is the words that Jesus spoke concerning Judas. It would have been better for that man if he would have never been born. That's sad words, isn't it? Been better if he had never been born. I say, dear ones, where is our focus? Is it upon the world or the things of God? Is it on only temporal things? Remember, friend, at the close of life, the question will not be how much you have got, but how much you have given. Not how much you've won, but how much you've done. Not how much, my friend, you might have saved, but how much you've sacrificed. Not how much you've honored, but how much you've served. Failure to be rich towards God will mean eternal loss to your soul. The man in our text found out that security in life does not rest in barns, but security rests in Jesus Christ. Amen. Eternity without Christ, eternity in the lake of fire, eternity in eternal torment, eternity in darkness, no hope, lost forever. The invitation is for all of us. Those here without Christ, come to Him by faith. Find eternal life. Those who are here as believers, would you evaluate your life? What are you investing your time and your talents in? Because this night, thy soul could be required of thee. What if you heard those words tonight? Are you ready for that? Will you be able to give an account for the way you've raised your children? The way you're raising your children? Can you give an account for what you're doing with the talents and abilities that God has given you? What about giving an account for the way you're spending your time and your energy? How about giving an account for what you've done with the money and the wealth that God's blessed you with? Are you ready to give an account for the way you're using your body? Someday, there's going to be a knock at your life's door. I don't know when. It's going to happen to me too. Going to be a knock. And guess what? Death is going to be waiting on the outside. And we will answer the door reluctantly if we're not saved. And that, my friend, all of a sudden, the music's going to stop. The frantic whirling of the dancers will cease, and you and I must answer the door of death. Soon thereafter, what we did with the gift of life is going to be required of us. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. In a single moment, look at this man. All of his dreams were blasted. His soul was summoned to the bar of his long forgotten God. So many are surprised as suddenly and unprepared death finds them. They're snatched out from their pleasures, hurried to a world where there's no pleasure, where all their wealth cannot purchase one moment of ease from the gnawing worm of the soul that never dies. Will it bring eternal reward? If not, friend, come today and get things right with God. Will you surrender your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Thank you again, Brother Dishman, for those sobering thoughts. Friend, if your intention is to make heaven your home, you must prepare for it now, while you're living here in this life. 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul tells us that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Christ encourages you not to neglect this most important issue of life. Do it now. Do it today. While you have time and opportunity, while you are able to make a rational decision. Ezekiel tells us that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, nor does he want anyone to let sin be their ruin. Dear one, if you desire to find salvation but need help, we invite you to call Brother Roger Decker at 740-345-1213. He is always ready to help pray with or counsel those that need help. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call. That number to call again is 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Have you visited our website yet? If not, we'd like to invite you to browse through it. You can find our website at godsacres.org. It offers many interesting things that will be of some help to you. There is a section on our website that points to sermons that have been preached by Brother Roger Decker. There are also messages by ministers that have come and preached in revivals and camp meetings. Friends, before we leave you today, I want to remind you that this is the final day of this revival effort at the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street. If you have not yet attended, we hope that you will plan on being here with us today. Our service times today is at 9:30 for Sunday school. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45. Our evening worship service then begins at 6 o'clock. If you would need transportation to the services, please feel free to give us a call at that number, 740-345-1213. Someone will certainly be happy to stop by and pick you up. That number to call again is 740-345-1213. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for listening today, and hopefully you will join us again next week at the same time.